our help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 85, the verses 1 and 3. Psalm 85, the verses 1 and 3. scripture reading in this morning hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the book of Genesis chapter 34. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat the scripture reading, Genesis 34. Genesis 34. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when she came, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, and lay with her, and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. And now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longed for thy daughter, and I pray you give her him to wife. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughter unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. And ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, Because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this we will consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give you our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son, and the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And he and Hamor and Shechem, his son, came into the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. And only herein will the men consent us unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised. And they are circumcised, as they are circumcised. And shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And to Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain, and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister. And they took her sheep, and they took their sheep, and their oxen, and their asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I bring few in number. They shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, and I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. O Lord, what thou hast prepared for thy people in the never begun eternity is unbelievable. Because the prince for eternal salvation, the price for eternal salvation has been so high that we cannot imagine the real value of Christ's sacrifice. O Lord, give us not only an impression of salvation, but that we may get an application of salvation in the judgment of our existence. Lord, not one of us is waiting for that, because by nature we have no lust of the knowledge of thy ways, and our sinful situation is so terrible, O Lord, and we have no idea of the deepness of our existence. O Lord, take away the cover of our hearts and show us what we are and what we need for time and eternity. And when we think about Jacob, that we may recognize in our life the same grace that Jacob received. And if we are not yet partakers in the same grace of Jacob, O Lord, open our eyes for the preciousness of thy begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, take away our unbelief and glorify thyself by the preaching of thy word and by the revelation of the truth in Christ. And by nature there is no room for Christ in our lives, but thou can change it in a second. O Lord, that we may hear thy voice this day by means of the preaching, because thy words are deeds. For thou spoke and it was done, thou commanded and it stood fast. O glorify thyself among us, and thou wilt have the praise. Lord, be with the sick and the elder people, be with the widows and the orphans, especially at Haiti, where a heavy earthquake has been. O Lord, this catastrophe points to our deep fall, where the destruction of creation is begun. And if yet not sinned against thee, no destruction like this calamity would have been. O Lord, that this reverse may lead to true conversion of many souls, increase thy kingdom and bless thy word in preaching and listening. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, last Sunday we have heard that Jacob has been at Penuel, and that a man wrestled with him, and that Jacob got a new name, the name Israel, which means Prince of God. And after Jacob had come to Shechem, he erected an altar there and called it Eloah Israel. And that means God knows that I know that God is my God. Eloah Israel. And this, in this connection, Jacob didn't say the God of Jacob is God, for the God of Jacob had appeared to him at Bethel. But here on this spot, Jacob says, God is my God forever, for he has appeared to me of old. And now Jacob doesn't count anymore. And now the God of Jacob is also the God of Israel. And for in that quality, God has saved his life at Penuel. It was a proof of faith, a test of faith. There Jacob lost his conversion, and there Jacob kept the Lord at his conversion, and there he got a new name in Christ. And there the Lord had tested his faith in the fire. For there Jacob had lost himself so that Israel should win. And now Jacob had come to Succoth, and having departed thence, he came to Shechem, where he erected an altar in memory of God's loving kindness shown to him. And he called that altar El Elohei Israel. God, my God, says Jacob, is the only one, the true one, Yahweh of Israel. And Jacob could speak of the mercies of a covenant God. And that's a precious thing, beloved. And we have a book with this title, namely, The Mercies of a Covenant God. And that is a well-known book of the weaver preacher John Warburton. Now, he was poor, however rich in God. And if we should recommend one book, it is this book. That is a book in which the practice of godliness is described in a singular way by John Warburton himself. And Warburton went through many dark valleys to report his benefits. And how the life of this faithful ambassador of God is interwoven with a deep humiliation before the Lord's countenance, but also with the mercies and the faithfulness of his faithful covenant Jehovah, who lifted up his servant every time when he thought he would perish. And much earlier in time Jacob was granted to know the same God in his mercies, and all the truth shown to him. Look, and that people testify the God of Israel is God. And in this way Jacob lived near Shechem with his wives and children. And Jacob had also a daughter whose name was Dinah. And Dinah had no sisters to grow up with. Only 11 brothers, for Benjamin had not yet been born. So actually Dinah was alone. And that's why she was bored. And probably Dinah felt little like living the household life with her mother Leah. And that is a bad trait, girls in our midst. For Dinah was an outgoing type. Dinah had been run down early already. And now you shouldn't think that we are not polluted. For by nature we are as deeply corrupt through our deep fall in Adam. And however, Dinah had been brought up in the fear of the Lord by Father Jacob and her mother Leah. So Dinah had God-fearing parents. O youth, in our midst, what a privilege it is having parents who fear the Lord. And now Dinah was such a privileged girl, but she was bored with such an upbringing. And Dinah was fed up with it. She wanted something else but that heaviness of father and mother. And dear youth in our midst, how is it with you? Have you also parents who fear the Lord in truth? And do you still attend the right preaching of God's word? And are you bored in God's house? Now what a terrible discovery it will be if you must appear before God in that situation. And then you would wish to be in God's house once more to attend to such a great salvation. But Dinah had thrown all those calls in the wind. Concerning the worship service of the Lord, she has cried out, "Depart from us, depart from me, for I desire not the knowledge of thy ways." And Dinah wants to go out. She wants to go in the town feast in Shechem. Yeah. She wants to find entertainment in the world. And there she goes, into the feast in the town square of Shechem. And Dinah goes to a fancy fair, we would say. And on that feast, many youngsters had come together, many boys and girls of her age, and mostly young people, about 15. Now Dinah was only 14, still a child, really. But Dinah was precocious, respecting life in sin. So Dinah didn't bow her knees to beseech the Lord with the prayer, "Lead us not in temptation." No. Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. Now, you could say, well, there was nothing bad in this, was there? That is quite harmless, you would say, perhaps. Yes, you may think that, but also the devil talks in that way, in the same way. But evil always starts with something innocent. Beware of it. And that was the case, that was the same case in paradise when the devil recommended the fruits of the forbidden tree to Eve. But that was against what God has said. And it seemed so harmless, but through that seemingly harmless offense, the whole human race lies under the everlasting verdict of God's righteous wrath. So, and God could have swept away justly all mankind with the broom of the with the broom of hellfire. But nevertheless he didn't do it, for in his eternal counsel it had already been decreed that the people could be saved, and had to be saved through the mediatorial work of his Son Jesus Christ. But let us return to Dinah, who is on her way to Shechem. And we follow her in our thoughts. And Dinah is going to make friends with the worldly girls of Shechem. And Dinah wants to have fun and entertainment in her life. Now, well, young people, if you want, if you do want this, then you can get it. Like Esau said, feed me, I pray thee, with that red pottage. Esau had said to Jacob. Now, well, Esau, here you are, and squander your birthright. Yeah, you can get it. And Father, give me my share of the inheritance, for I want to go out into the world, the younger son says in the parable. And how did this end? He landed among the swine. And if God had not prevented it, he would have perished there forever. And that's what the devil and the world offer you, dear youth. And then you perish miserably if God doesn't prevent it. But Dinah says, I am going anyway. Well, child, go. But you don't go without warning. Now, probably Dinah would say, now it won't be that bad. I am able to take care of myself. And that's what I'm going to do. I won't be long. Now there she goes. Quickly and daintily. She is walking to the fair to make friends. And like an hint broken loose, Dinah goes to meet her doom. And yes, beloved, this cannot be helped. And if you want to go into the world, then you will gather the sour fruits of it. Pray for preserving grace, not to be better, but to seek the Lord in the early days before the evil days come, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. For the Lord is worthy of it even more than that, mind you, of being feared and served. And as a matter of fact, we have no right to live on in an unconverted state, for God requires his image back from each of us. And fearing God is no grievous life, dear youth. That is a service of love, Psalmist says, which doesn't make sad, no. But in the meantime, Dinah was already in the merry-go-around, so to say, and there were more young people. And do you know who was there also? There was a famous boy, Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land. And Shechem sees Dinah, frolicking. Now, girls, remember well, in almost all cases, it is your own fault if a boy or a man assaults your sexuality. And for then you have behaved like a whore. And then you have been seducing people. And it is bad for words, but it is a reality. For it says, Shechem saw her, it says, and took her. He raped Dinah. He deflowered her. And oh, girls, shall you keep your honor high? And remember what feeling a boy can get when you don't keep distance in this area? And Dinah had been branded for her whole life. Through her own fault, she had become the victim of immoral violence. But Shechem had also had something else. He loved Dinah, for he wanted to have her to wife. And this is a favor for Shechem, for he doesn't dump Dinah on the side of the road, like most of them do. However, Father Jacob hears that his daughter has been defiled. And that must have been quite something for Jacob. But what if she were your child? parents in our midst. But Jacob held his peace. Look. And that is grace. Jacob held his peace. Jacob held his peace till his sons came from the field. And now how Jacob had to live through the fruits of the womb is his reward. Yes, but in this case it was a reward of sin. For Dinah was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. And when Reverend Warburton had to experience this with his own daughter, his mouth was closed for 7 days. And that man was tossed about in a terrible way, and he was also slandered by his enemies in a terrible way. Do you know what he writes? He writes, "It would be a judgment of God on me. It would be a serious warning for me. Oh, that it might cure for me, that it might cure me from a bitter spirit and from the narrow-minded ideas which I had always shown by cutting many a pure soul into pieces and branding them as hypocrites." Yeah. And the devil slandered and tempted the poor Reverend Warburton so terribly that he cried out in despair, "So that my soul chose a strangling," like Job, "and death rather than my life. But as the God of Israel, the Lord, had mercy on his servant in these circumstances and said to him, 'Be silent and know that I am God,' because it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, for the Lord, for the God of Israel is God." And in this way, God's children have to wrestle through great depths because of the trials of their faith. That is a true faith. And in this case, Jacob would have to go through even greater depths than he could suspect at this moment. Now we read on. "And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him." Yeah, Hamor wants to make a deal with Jacob. He wanted to make marriages with Jacob. Now look, that's what the world and the superficial religion do. They don't feel sorrow for their guilt, no. They want to compensate for their debts. They want to make a deal. Yeah. It's the sin of all sins. Make a deal. The devil wants to make a deal with God's creatures. And something for God and something for the world. And Hamor wants to try it this way too, but in the meantime Jacob's sons have returned from the field and they also hear of the defilement of their sister Dinah. It says they were grieved. And that wrath also fell upon Reverend Warburton, but he was preserved from carrying it out. And that is only grace, beloved. And however, the sons of Jacob were grieved and became furious because of this incident. But they could just suppress their fury. For Hamor asks Jacob to give his daughter Dinah in marriage to Shechem, his son. Yeah, actually makes a proposal to Jacob. And what was the proposal? Listen. He says, "Make your marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you, and dwell and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein." And Shechem adds even more, for he is willing to give anything as a dowry in order to get Dinah as his wife. And beloved, the devil is willing to give anything. If only he can draw you away from God. And then he becomes liberal at once, all at once. And you will think of Hamor and Shechem. Are they ever nice and amiable people? But watch out for such people. For such people want to pervert judgment. And about the sons of Samuel, we read, they took bribes and perverted judgment. Now Abram had learned different from God, for Abram says to the king of Sodom, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Yeah, Abram had lifted up his hand to heaven, to the Most High Majesty, who possesses heaven and earth. And Abram knew to be his property. For also Abram was granted to testify, the God of Abram is God, just like Jacob. The God of Israel is God. And there are also two ways of refusing something. One can refuse something because of the fear of the Lord, but you can also refuse something out of a deadly passive orthodoxy. That's also possible. And with the latter, Simeon and Levi became forward that proved deadly to the Shechemites. For it says, and the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. And then Jacob's sons come up with a counter proposal, but in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Now that was a lie. Simeon and Levi, that was a lie. It doesn't befit to a Christian to hold the truth in unrighteousness. For those that want to honor God will speak the truth unfeignedly, and it needs be candidly and nothing else. And that is the whole duty of man. But that doesn't make you converted, mind you. And Simeon and Levi go on. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter and we will be gone. Now it seemed a good agreement to Hamor and Shechem, for the young man deferred not to do the thing, for he was in love with Dinah. And infatuation, it is stone blind and rash. And he loses no time over it, for he tells the matter to all the men of Shechem, and that all of them must be circumcised. And Shechem was a man of authority and esteem among the Shechemites, for the town was called after him. So Shechem was honored as a prince. And all the men of the town lay at his feet and listened to him. Yeah, they put confidence in princes, where one will never find happiness. And would you build your hopes on men? That is idolatry. But the Shechemites do so. They all run after one fool. And it also happened in the Second World War, and it still happens everywhere in the world. Most people are looking after an hero. Yeah. But it is a fool. It's foolishness, idolatry. But the consequence of such foolishness have always proved terrible. And millions were killed for following after fools. And the Shechemites are circumcised, and for 3 days they are all completely defenseless and helpless, so that there was no protection of able-bodied men among the Shechemites anymore. And that was the very intention of Simeon and Levi, for they didn't want an agreement but revenge. Revenge because of the defilement of their sister Dinah. Well, that is man. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. And if you give me a blow, I give you two. And if you kick me, I kick you three times. Yeah, that is man. And do you treat our sister shamefully, then you can get blood for blood. Yeah, that is like us, mind you. In every one of our hearts, there are murderers. And when God lets a man go, then he shows himself to be a beast. For it says, and it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, the Shechemites, that the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And there they go, the murderers, Simeon and Levi. Yeah, and Father Jacob will testify in Genesis 40:49. He says, and Simeon and Levi are brethren. Yeah, they are real brethren. Instruments of cruelty. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. And Jacob cries out, O my soul, come not thou into their secrets, into their assembly, and mine honor be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. And I will divide them in Jacob, and I scatter them in Israel. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and their wrath erupted. But the wise Solomon says, beloved, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And Solomon continues, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. And that's what Simeon and Levi had done. They didn't act according to justice. No. Yeah, sure, Shechem was guilty. But a public lawsuit should have been set up. But Simeon and Levi had murdered the Shechemites in a treacherous way. And beloved, these are the consequence of Dinah's disobedience. Namely, immorality, murder and manslaughter. And what lesson can we learn from this? Well, first, Dinah's going out. God's people know this likewise, inwardly. Quite some fairs and are going on in the hearts of God's children. But do you know that God's people weep over it if they are in the right condition? And the second lesson is, the murderous plot of Simeon and Levi is also executed in Christ, to Christ in a sense, in the fullness of time. For Simeon and Levi forced the Shechemites to bow under the yoke of the law with the demand to be circumcised. And that legalistic obedience of the Shechemites cost them their lives. But in spiritual sense, Christ has complied with the requirements of the law of the Father willingly. Not to make a marriage with the law of the law with the gospel, but to fulfill the law of God perfectly. And Christ accomplished the law not in a legalistic way, but in a legal way. He accomplished the law by receiving the revenging sword of the divine righteousness and interceding as a mediator between his Father and the lost generation of Adam, namely his people. For the summons had sounded, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And then it also sounded also for Simeon and Levi, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land? And in this way Simeon and Levi were scattered among the tribes through their own fault, for they don't get an inheritance of land. For Simeon and Levi preferred judgment, but Christ satisfied judges through his sufferings, and that for murderers. Today, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And in order that room may be prepared for Simeon and Levi among the tribes of Israel. Orthodoxy had nailed Christ to the cross, but Christ prayed for his enemies so that ungodly people could be reconciled with God through the death of his son. Also for Simeon and Levi, for out of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. You can read it in Revelation 7. And they may appear before God in Zion with the 144 sealed ones out of all the tribes of the Lamb that had been slain. And beloved, now you shouldn't think, so to be saved is almost possible. And that is also possible for me when I die. Now that is the most terrible reasoning if you think that you can risk your immortal soul to Sheply, for then you make a terrible mistake. For the Lord says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The devil always says, well, you can be converted tomorrow. And tomorrow he says, tomorrow it will be also possible. And the day after tomorrow he will say, oh well, today you have been so busy, tomorrow you will have time to think about God. But with the devil, it remains tomorrow. So he does anything to prevent you from waking up to the things of eternity. But he keeps you in a deadly sleep, like the strong man arms keeps his palace. Like a strong man armed keeps his palace. And do you know, beloved, what such a wonder is? It is written in the word of God, namely, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. And if the Lord Jesus had not taken the responsibility, no one would have woken up out of the deep, deadly sleep. And then the heaven remained empty. But when Christ cries, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, then you will not remain in that, for at the same time he sends his quickening spirit in your heart, and then you are made alive in Christ immediately. And if this happens in your life, beloved, which is necessary, you are not wretched anymore but happy. And then you don't know yet how rich you are, but you will cry out, away you world, be gone, you treasures. And one doesn't get further in the beginning, but things do go on, namely like this. Be gone, you world, be gone, your treasures. And you cannot conceive how wretched I am. I have chosen everything, but lost my creator, whose I was. But if you ask these souls more closely, they wouldn't like to exchange their wretchedness for the seeming happiness of the world. But such souls have an heartfelt sorrow after God, and also communion with Christ through the love set forth in their hearts. Also by the little ones, the regeneration begins with Christ and with remission of sin. And beloved, are you reconciled with God already? Sooner or later you will fall into his hands, and now the main thing is whether you fall in his hands on this side of the grave to be reconciled with God through him, through the miracle of regeneration, or you will fall into his hands on the day of days, but then unreconciled. And how terrible it will be to fall into the hands of the living God. For it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, after having committed their crime, Simeon and Levi return home. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me and make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, and I and my house. Yeah, Jacob had become afraid, for the enemy would impute the sins of his children to him. But that God would defend Jacob, Jacob couldn't see this, because again he is looking at the circumstances. That's unbelief. Yeah. Only God's people knows what unbelief is. And there is a people on earth, beloved, that cannot work with what God has worked in their lives. For the exercise of faith is also God's work. And of this it is also true, it is he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he shutteth and no man opened. And somebody says, yes, but you should believe, shouldn't you? Yes, we should, but being able to believe is a free gift of grace from God, also after grace received. Yeah, superficial religion can always believe, there's always faith, every day. But it has never believed yet that it has no faith, and that only godless, unbelieving sinners can be reconciled with God. They don't know anything about it. For God teaches his people experimentally that it is and remains free grace. There's a secret what it means, free grace. There's a secret. Yeah. Also after grace received, it must be revealed to us. But Simeon and Levi had an answer already to Jacob's rebuke, for they say, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? Simeon and Levi were legalistic doers of the law, for they had taken justice into their own hands, whereas the law is in the hand of Christ. For none is judged but God alone, to honor or bring law. And therefore Simeon and Levi had been dispersed like water among the tribes of Israel. They were scattered. But they themselves had thought evil, but God meant it unto good. Yeah, that's a miracle, beloved. For what has the tribe of Levi been allotted? Right. The Levitical priesthood in the tabernacle. And therefore, they had to be dispersed among the tribes, so that God would be glorified and the devil would be crushed through the high priestly administration of Christ. And that's what the Levites have been granted to picture through the administration of the propitiation under the law, till the fulfillment of time had come through the coming of the Most High Prophet, Priest and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was fulfilled the law completely with a self-sacrifice, for he has appeared before the Father to become surety with his heart, with whole his heart. From whom? From Simeon and Levi's. In order that such people would glorify his name forever. For it is through thee alone, because of thy eternal pleasure. But the Lord took care of Jacob, because the Lord said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, For it says, before they call, I will answer. The Lord asked for Jacob in his fear. And what an eternal wonder for those who haven't asked for him. For we don't read that Jacob asked for God. For Jacob was entangled in the circumstances and the cares of life. But God remembered Jacob because of his faithful covenant that cannot be shaken. And the Lord said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. So the Lord reminds Jacob of his own love through which he had sought the sin of Jacob there in Bethel. And Jacob didn't think about this anymore. He only thought about the circumstances, about the danger which threatened him. But the Lord remembered Jacob. And that's what the Lord does with all his people. From whom he loves unto the end. Yeah, that's a miracle, an experience of faith. Because God's people are mostly walking to the dead end. And human love comes to an end. But there is no end to the love of Christ. And this way the Lord delivers Jacob from his distress by pointing him to Bethel. Yeah, someone says, but Jacob could have gone there by himself, couldn't he? No, beloved. No, Jacob couldn't do this anymore, for he was his Savior's own. So Jacob couldn't choose his own way anymore. For these people it is true what the Bible says, I will hedge up thy way with torrents. Now Jacob could dig in that hedge of torrents, so to speak, but he could never get through it anymore. And he that is able to receive it, let him receive. When God's people start digging in that hedge of torrents, they get bleeding hands and feet. And that is called preserving grace. Grace also means that God will preserve his people, but mostly in a way which is not pleasant to the flesh. And God doesn't spare flesh, beloved. So Jacob was allowed to travel to Bethel at the cost of his faithful covenant God. And there in Bethel the Lord had appeared to Jacob in a dream to his atonement. And now he has to return to Bethel to remember what God has done there. Saved his soul. And then Jacob went to Bethel with his entire household. No, it doesn't say that. It says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Why does Jacob say this? Because the Lord wants to prepare the Lord's Supper for Jacob in Bethel. And for that reason Jacob sanctifies his people and throws all the idols outside the door. And Jacob wants to worship the Lord in a public worship service. For Jacob, Bethel has been a house of bread, and now it will be a house of worship and remembrance. What God has done to him. Now worship, real worship, true worship, can only take place on the foundation of salvation and reconciliation. And when Christ takes possession of you, beloved, he reconciles you first with God in the way of justice, in order to cleanse you, and to sanctify you. And that is not a maybe, mind you. And nowadays there are many half-saved people. But God takes possession of you. If God takes possession of you, then it is out of the question that man must break with all his idols. And Jacob feels in his heart that his household and servants cannot keep the idols and at the same time to remember God's faithfulness and faith. That cannot be. That was impossible for Jacob. And he was unable to do this through God speaking in his heart. And if God takes your heart, beloved, then he has all your possessions. And do you believe that? And one can only experience that. The devil tries to imitate this, and so does superficial religion. But God's work cannot be imitated. But what Jacob may do here is only a fruit of grace. When the Lord leads you back to where He began with you, church, in the regeneration, then you will come into a sanctuary. Will you keep that in mind? And then your shoes are taken off, for there the church is led into the sanctuary of I am that I am. Like Moses in the desert experienced. Now Jacob goes on saying, let us arise, after the idols were thrown away, let us arise and go up to battle, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answers me in the day of distress, and who was with me in the way which I went. And he still answers, even though that I am in distress, he was with me in the way which I went. And actually he says, now everything is true again. Who, Jacob? El Eloi Israel. And actually Jacob says to his fellow men, if the God of Israel is God, I won't have anything to do with you and with your idols, begone, begone. And they gave Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And Jacob had that whole duck and threw all the idols into it. And it might have been better to burn up all that rubbish, for someone else could dig up the idols one day. But Jacob may have done this in this way, not to noise abroad the sins which his people stuck to. But Jacob did this before God, in the countenance of God, and that is a wonderful thing, for secret sins should be wept about in secret, and public sins should be confessed in public. So they traveled to Bethel, and then we read, and the terror of God was upon the cities and that were around about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Now Jacob doesn't have to clear the way for himself with a sword. He did have to provide a vanguard for the Lord went before them, and he was also his rearward. Do you know what that means? Actually, the Lord was a firewall around Jacob and his household, and he protect Jacob for his enemies. And the Lord shall fight for you, it says, and ye shall hold your peace. And that is applicable here, which also holds true for the people of Israel when they stood before the Red Sea with Moses, and after the deliverance out of Egypt. Then the people stood before an impossibility. Before the sea, and on either side the high mountains, and behind them the Egyptians and Pharaoh, who wanted to defeat them. But then God paved the way for them right through the sea, and the Almighty put the terror of God on the Egyptians, so that they were drowned in the sea of God's wrath. And what a deliverance for God's people is, proves a sure ruin of the enemies of those people. And the holy ways which the Lord clears for his people cannot be trodden by the devil, for then God arises and puts his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. And his haters, haughty though they be, shall at his august presence flee in utter desolation. And for all those cleared ways have been paid for by the blood of the New Testament, by the blood of the everlasting covenant. For Christ has gone before his people. He is the way of ways, and he is the truth and the life. God lead his people out of the world. And look at Jacob and see how through the word of God as he puts him on the way which he has cleared himself. He leads them in the truth which he himself has proclaimed to them, like to Jacob at Bethel. For God makes his word true. Jacob doesn't. The Lord does. And God protects his servant Jacob in agreement with his own testimony. And what was that testimony? Do you still know, beloved? What did the Lord promise to Jacob at Bethel? Again, we go back to Genesis 28, verse 15. There it says, "And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And therefore Jacob must return to Bethel to worship that God for which he had worked. For what God has spoken will be fulfilled, though it goes through impossible ways. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him, his household, his entire household, and Jacob called that place El Bethel. That means God is at Bethel. And Jacob means to say, when I was at Bethel for the first time, then yet I didn't fully realize that the God of Bethel was also my God. Actually, he says, God had appeared to me, that is true, and how glorious that place was, a house of God, a gate of heaven. But I remained Jacob, an outsider. But through the trial of Penuel, I know that the God of Bethel is the same God as the God of Penuel. And there God preserved my life and tried my faith, so that now I may say in the full assurance of faith, El Bethel, that is, out of God, through God, and unto God. Yeah. But Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was Allenbachet. And there in Bethel, they had also wept, namely because of Deborah. Hence the name Allenbachet, which means the oak of weeping. And there they had mourned and wept about Deborah. Now nowadays people may so be cold and hard at a funeral, but there in Bethel the loss of one of them was still mourned. For flesh cannot do without flesh. And there are bonds of the blood, family ties. And there are also spiritual ties which have been born from God. And whether this was the case with Deborah, I believe it was. And scriptures don't tell, but they did weep. And they wept because they had a spiritual bond with Deborah. I believe it for sure. But something else happened at that place. God appears to Jacob again, and that in that place God confirms to Jacob what he had promised to him. And now we see, beloved, the Lord always establishes his own work. And that God deems necessary in the life of his church here on earth, for otherwise they would perish on the way when the trials are multiplied. The Lord guarantees the welfare of his people, the welfare of faith. Yeah, that goes the trials. Yeah. In the true faith that goes through the fire oven. That was happened with Jacob at Penuel. And when we miss this, we miss everything. For Jacob had all. He had God because God had Jacob. So, the establishing The establishing of the work of God that happens, that take place in the life of grace. And then Jacob thanks the Lord on the holy altar of thanksgiving, for it says, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And do you know what I believe, beloved, that on that altar of thanksgiving, Jacob also poured out tears of a broken heart. For God's offerings are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And do you think that Jacob sacrificed there as a highly converted man? No, he poured out, it says. And that was not just a spoonful, respectfully speaking. And that was a stream of pleasure in the tears because of the oil of the Spirit. And Jacob poured out his whole heart before God in true thankfulness to him who had been mindful of him. And when for Jacob there was no way anymore, and when for Jacob everything ended in death, then God knew his way. And that is the proof of true faith, that's the proof of true grace. When everything ended in death, when everything ends in death, then God know your way, beloved. Not for 1 or 2 days, but for his entire life, concerning Jacob, yea, to eternity. And after this worship service at Bethel, Jacob traveled on to Ephrath, to Bethlehem. And Jacob, how Jacob had to experience, I am, O Lord, a stranger in the earth who lives in a tent. But Jacob will certainly have sung, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in the book? But let us first sing together Psalm 130 verse 4. Psalm 130 verse 4. Hope in the Lord, O nation, with him is steadfast love, his plenteous salvation he'll send you from above. And what follows? Psalm 130 verse 4. The worship service at Bethel, a new trial was coming up. Rachel had it hard with her in her childbearing, and she had very hard labor, it says. And she was in great distress. And oh, how Rachel had to experience in sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children. But for Rachel it became a sorrow of death, for her soul was in departing, while her prayer of some time ago was answered, which she had prayed when Joseph had been born, For his name means adding, not only to bear children, to bear more children, but to bear children for God's kingdom. Now, mothers in our midst, have you bear children for God's kingdom? Do you know it? Do you have wrestled before the throne of God to do it? Now, Rachel's prayer is answered, but she called the child Benoni. That means the son of my sorrow. And it looked like the promises of God would end in the dead. And Rachel undergoes here a Penuel. But when it seemed the dead conquered, a child had been born. For it says, and it came to pass when it went hard with her in her childbearing, that the midwife said to her, fear not, for this also is a son for thee. But Jacob called the child Benjamin. That means the son of my right hand, my beloved one, my darling. And Rachel died and was buried on the roadside. And on his way, Jacob lost Rachel and she died in Jacob's arms. For he says in Genesis 48, When I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And do you know what is so wonderful, beloved? And Rachel was buried in the land of Benjamin, between Ramah and Bethlehem. For this part of Canaan was allotted to the tribe of Benjamin in the days of Joshua. That was divine providence, that the mother of the tribe of Benjamin was buried here, so that her posterity would remember the sorrow of their mother. And Jacob sets a pillar on her grave in remembrance of his beloved dear wife, Rachel. And Rachel is mentioned some more times in God's word, namely in Ruth 4, where the elders of the city make mention of Rachel, also of Leah, in the gate, in relation to Ruth, saying, "With we are witnesses, the Lord make the woman Ruth, that is come into thine house," that was Boaz's house, "like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem." And also Jeremiah, we read on Rachel, "This says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, and refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not." And the identical part of the scriptures we find in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, "And Ramah was there, a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." And this concerns not only the children who were killed by Herod in the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus, but in the first place concerns Joseph and Benjamin. And if Benjamin who died in his birth here after battle, if Benjamin would die in his birth, then Joseph wasn't received by faith. Do you understand this? And Rachel wept while she was dying. But then it sounds over the fields of Ephrath, "Fear not, for this also is a son for thee." And the Lord keeps his promise and has answered Rachel's prayers. Rachel had a prophetical sorrow about Benjamin, and she feared for his life. But in the depth of her sorrow, she received life according to her prayers. And that were prayers of faith, beloved. Yeah, many say that Rachel was a woman without grace, but the scriptures don't tell us that anywhere. To the contrary, for the Lord answers Rachel's weeping in Jeremiah, Thus says the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, says the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. So Rachel had a prophetical sorrow about Benjamin, for all those children from Bethlehem were descendants of Rachel. And now the Lord said, thy work shall be rewarded. And could this also be said of a person without grace? Impossible. And was Rachel stayed for eternity in Christ? For sure. For that weeping about her children was weeping out of God. And those tears are put in his bottle. Now stop weeping, Rachel, for your tears will be washed away in the new Jerusalem, for there God will wipe away all the tears of his people, and there won't be any sorrow nor any weeping anymore. And no herald won't be able to murder your descendants anymore, for there will God be all in all. And the Lord promises to bring her children back to their own border in the land of the everlasting glory. So, it has a spiritual meaning. And may we conclude, beloved, with this, that all the murdered children at Bethlehem are with God in heaven. I believe it for sure. Because they were killed for Christ's sake. Remember. And Rachel doesn't get a burial in the cave of Machpelah, but she goes get a funeral according to the counsel of God to the honor of his name. And Rachel was the mother of Israel. And Rachel was a mother of Israel like Leah was. And she died at Bethlehem, the place where Christ was born. Fear not, for this also is a son for thee. So Christ was a son for Rachel. Yeah. And then it says, and Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. Yeah. The Tower of Edar. And what does that mean? Now it says, and it came to pass when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Yeah. Reuben, the eldest son of father Jacob, adulterated with Bilhah. That was Jacob's concubine. And what a shame Jacob had to bear from the part of his own flesh. And how many storms had Jacob to endure. For Dinah was defiled. And then Simeon and Levi had committed a massacre. And now Reuben violated with his own concubine. Oh, how Jacob had to live through. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And having been born as a deceiver, he was deceived by his own children now. And not just fibbing. No, it was a moral crime, the worst kind. One would die of grief, but for Israel a better lot was prepared. God would take him up into glory. And then he would be delivered of Jacob. Then he would have no memory of this meshach of misery anymore. But Reuben will be punished for his serious crime. And God doesn't leave sin unpunished. And with this crime, Reuben has deprived himself of the birthright, like Esau. And at his father's deathbed, he will hear, unstable as water. That was Reuben. Reuben had become this. He had thrown himself in the abyss of incest. And Reuben became guilty of a devilish, unnatural sin. But God got back about this, for the right of the firstborn and entitled that kings and office bearers would come out of Reuben's tribe, but a king of office bearer that has never come from Reuben's tribe, And that was the result of his heinous deed. If God leaves us to our own, then we can do anything. Let us not think that we are better than Reuben, for let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And now it is true that the Lord keeps his people from falling into certain sins, namely unnatural sins. But it doesn't mean that the man who has committed this sin cannot be converted anymore. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But Reuben has a base mind. And in a beastly way he had forfeited his responsibility as the eldest son. So Reuben was still unconverted and in the power of the devil. And later on all the children of Jacob would be converted. But at this moment Reuben was still unconverted. And then Jacob went to his father Isaac, who still lived in Mamre, in the city of Arba, and where Abram has sojourned. And now meanwhile Isaac was 180 years old, a very old age. And Isaac had become old and full of days. And when after such a long time Jacob had come to him, Isaac cried out, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Yeah, someone could say that isn't in the Bible, mind you. Now you are right, but it is there all the same. And Judah would be born out of Jacob, and out of Judah the Lord Jesus would be born. So to Isaac, Jacob was the child who was the child to Simeon the high priest. And that is able to receive, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Therefore it says, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died after he had seen Jacob. Or to put it in other words, after he had heard Jacob, for Isaac was blind. And how Jacob would have wept about Isaac, don't you think so? For he had deceived his father. And Jacob was reminded of this when Reuben deceived him with his heinous crime. And then Jacob fled to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And someone says, will this also take place after grace received? Yes, yes. For God's people are often in a far country, spiritually I mean. Yeah. But then Jacob was also able to tell of the eternal wonder that God had done to his soul there at Bethel, near Laban, near Mahanaim, near Penuel, with the Shechemites, and now with his father. And then Isaac and Jacob sang once more, and blessed be his glorious name to all eternity. The whole earth let his glory fill. Amen. So let it be. And then Isaac departed to sing forever, which he is doing now with Israel and Abram in heaven. And beloved, what will your destination be? That is the last question of this sermon. What will your destination be? There are two destinations, and it will be the one or the other. And if you recognize your life in the life of Jacob, then your eternal destination will be the same as Jacob. But if you think that the way of God's children doesn't go through the revelation of Bethel and Penuel, you make a terrible mistake. The Lord reveals himself to his children by word and spirit, and he establishes his covenant with them. And an application of salvation is not a maybe. And also the little ones with a weak faith know that God is their God. For the Lord establishes his own work in Christ time and again in the life of grace. Now may the Lord bless his own testimony for his name's sake. Amen. Congregation, let us first sing together Psalm 53. Psalm 53, the verses 1 and 5. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their horrid deeds they cherish. And what follows in verse 1 and 5 of Psalm 53. So clear that we are nothing but darkness, and that thy word may be a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. And we have heard the ways in which thou hast led Jacob and all thy people, and the way of Jacob is not an unknown way for thy people, And Jacob was a stranger of on this earth, and all thy true people likewise. But in our days, O Lord, the churches are unfaithful and persecutors of thy true people. O Lord, so many churches are holes of wolves in sheep clothing. Rise up, O Lord, and break down the kingdom of Satan. Be with thy true servants and give them a mouth to proclaim thy word, a mouth to proclaim Christ, and that we may say with thy servant Paul, for I have not shrunk from announcing to you all the counsel of God. O Lord, thou hast all the power and might in heaven and earth. Be with us and keep us by the strength of the Lord Jesus. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.